Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, August 20th, 2020. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Decatur Schools, DPS delivering 50,000 meals to students. Each meal pack comes with 5 breakfasts and 5 lunches, by Valerie Wells. Decatur. School meals look a lot different this fall than they used to. In the spring, with little notice, most school districts had to come up with a way to get food to kids and chose grab-and-go meals. Due to the emergency situation, the federal school lunch program rules were relaxed to allow that and to let family members pick up those meals. This fall, however, the rules are back in place and meals must go directly to students. Decatur Public Schools solution, home delivery. We're only able to deliver to registered students, said Scott Gregory, director of Aramark Food Services. We're having to pull information a week out. We pulled all registered students from last Monday because it takes a few days to route everything. We're delivering this week on last Monday's information, and we're delivering next week to this Monday's information. Every registered student gets a 5-day meal pack with 5 breakfasts and 5 lunches, he said. Meal delivery began on Wednesday and will continue Thursday and Friday. By the end of the week, Gregory said, Aramark will have delivered 50,000 individual meals. That takes a lot of organization. The logistics and coordination is beyond words, he said. All the district schools published a statement on their Facebook pages to alert families to the situation. Families can opt out of the meals if they choose. Otherwise, each registered student receives meals. We're working to give families a more targeted notification next week, so bear with us, the statement read. The district truly appreciates your patience as we work towards rolling out this new meal delivery service to our students during vital learning. Special thank you for our security guards that are accompanying Aramark employees during delivery. We really do have some amazing staff dedicated to support our students for learning during the start of the school year. Normally, the milk company delivers half pints for daily meals at schools. Now, Aramark is buying half-gallon containers. Some products aren't readily available from their regular distributor, and they have to look elsewhere or buy different products. The company had planned menus that aren't always possible to put together under these circumstances. We're not perfect on day one, but we're sure getting there, Gregory said. Decatur Schools in July announced plans to have remote learning in response to the COVID pandemic. Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered schools closed in March because of increased cases. Some restrictions were later lifted, and school officials were told to develop back-to-school plans from in-person classes, remote, or a mix. Gregory said meals arrive frozen or chilled with instructions on how to prepare them. Everything is pre-cooked, but lunches have to be heated. We've been preparing since last Tuesday, Gregory said. Yesterday, we split time between producing for next week and putting items in the meal packs. We don't have the freezer and cooler space, so we had to rent cold storage units, 8x40, 2 at each building. The prep work is being done at Stephen Decatur Middle School and MacArthur High School, with 25 employees at each building. School security staff, who would otherwise be unemployed because students aren't in the building, are accompanying Aramark employees on the delivery rounds, which keeps them working too, he said. We normally spread these meals out between 18 sites and at elementaries. There are 200 to 250 kids, he said. And you're spending 5 days preparing that many meals. We normally feed children one day at a time. These are unprecedented times, and this is an unprecedented feeding program. Democratic National Convention. Boundary breakers team up for Biden. Harris, Obama, Clinton headline night 3 of convention. By Steve Peoples, Michelle L. Price, and Alexandra Jaffe. Associated Press, Wilmington, Delaware. The Democrats' historic boundary breakers joined forces at the party's national convention in an urgent effort to rouse the diverse coalition Joe Biden will need to defeat President Donald Trump this fall. Their overriding message, vote this time. Don't just be sorry and complain later. Barack Obama, the nation's first black president, and Hillary Clinton, the first woman nominated for president by a major party, spoke on Biden's behalf Wednesday night. And Kamala Harris, Biden's running mate and the first black woman on a major party ticket, delivered highly anticipated remarks that served as her first introduction to millions of voters. American democracy might not survive another 4 years of Trump, Obama warned in excerpts released in advance. He urged voters to embrace your own responsibility as citizens to make sure that the basic tenets of our democracy endure, because that's what is at stake right now, our democracy. In remarks remarkable for their dismissiveness of a U.S. president by his predecessor, Obama declared, "Donald Trump hasn't grown into the job because he can't." Clinton looked back at her 2016 loss to Trump and said that by now it must be clear that American lives and livelihoods are at risk. "For 4 years, people have said to me, I didn't realize how dangerous he was. I wish I could go back and do it over. Or worst, I should have voted," she said. "Well, this can't be another woulda, coulda, shoulda election." Just 76 days before the election, voters in both parties are as engaged as they've ever been, even while battling the coronavirus pandemic that has left more than 172,000 dead and millions more out of work. Having formally been nominated by their party, the Biden-Harris ticket is now the Democrats' only hope to deny Trump a second term. The pandemic has forced Biden's team to abandon the traditional convention format in favor of an all-virtual affair that has eliminated much of the pomp and circumstance that typically defines political conventions. It's also produced opportunities to create new traditions. On Tuesday night, Biden celebrated his formal nomination in a school library with his family. Instead of a Milwaukee convention hall, as initially planned, the roll call of convention delegates played out in a combination of live and recorded video feeds from American landmarks packed with meaning. Alabama's Edmund Pettus Bridge, the headwaters of the Mississippi River, and Washington's Black Lives Matter Plaza. The Democratic convention will build to a finale Thursday night, when Biden will deliver his acceptance speech in a mostly empty convention hall near his Delaware home. Next week, it's Trump's turn. The president, who abandoned plans to host his convention in North Carolina and Florida, is expected to break tradition and accept his nomination from the White House lawn. Trump has spent much of the week hosting campaign events in battleground states in an attempt to distract from the Democrats' virtual festivities. While there was no travel on Wednesday, Trump on Tuesday claimed that a Biden presidency would trigger a flood of illegal immigration like the world has never seen during an Arizona appearance near the Mexican border. Biden's team acknowledged that the Biden-Harris ticket must do more than promise a return to normalcy. "Joe knows it's not enough to build back. We've got to build back better than ever," Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer said in previewing Wednesday's program. Whitmer noted, for example, that women have made significant progress in politics in recent years. "But there's so much more to be had," she said. "Joe Biden's a champion and an ally we can trust in the White House, and by his side, we'll have the first female vice president in our history in Kamala Harris. As Joe often says, our nation was founded on a simple idea. We're all created equal. We've never fully lived up to it, but that is our North Star." Obama, who remains perhaps the biggest star in the Democratic Party, delivered a live address Wednesday night as well. He hopes to serve as a bridge between those reassured by Biden's lengthy resume and more moderate record and a younger generation of Democrats agitating for more dramatic change. Obama confidants say that the former president's support for Biden is unequivocal, but he does worry about enthusiasm among younger voters, particularly younger voters of color. Democrats concede that one of the reasons Trump won the presidency in 2016 was because those voters didn't show up in the same large numbers as when Obama was on the ballot. In excerpts of his remarks, Obama calls Biden his brother. He also savages the Trump presidency in a rare public rebuke from one president to his successor. "I have sat in the Oval Office with both of the men who are running for president," Obama says. "I never expected that my successor would embrace my vision or continue my policies. I did hope, for the sake of our country, that Donald Trump might show some interest in taking the job seriously, that he might come to feel the weight of the office and discover some reverence for the democracy that had been placed in his care." Macon County Courts, Man Found Guilty in Decatur Ambush Killing, by Tony Reed, Decatur. It took a Macon County Circuit Court jury 3.5 hours to decide beyond any reasonable doubt that Dante L. Wade had ambushed his daughter's boyfriend and shot the man to death. The jury came back with their guilty verdict on first-degree murder at 5:02 p.m. Wednesday, on the third day of the trial. Wade, 46, is now scheduled to be sentenced October 7th for cutting 25-year-old Marquis Afalone down with multiple gunshots on November 9, 2018. The fact a firearm was the instrument of murder enhances the sentencing range open to Judge Thomas Griffith and could see Wade sent to prison from 45 years to life. Afalone's tearful mother, who had also been briefly called as a witness for the prosecution, had been allowed by Griffith to be present for the whole trial. Prosecution evidence had described Afalone as the boyfriend of Wade's daughter, Jasmine Wade, now 22. The boyfriend and girlfriend had gotten into an argument the day before the murder, and Afalone had taken her keys after she had grabbed his cell phone, and both refused to give the items back. Her fingers had been injured when the dispute turned physical. First Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Nicole Kroenke said Wade had been waiting to ambush Afalone on the day he was killed, lurking nearby after his daughter had gone to her boyfriend's home to confront him. She was angry after finding messages to other women on his phone and believed he was cheating on her, Kroenke said. She said Dante Wade's assault started with a physical confrontation, and then Wade had pulled a gun. The first shot almost severed Afalone's left thumb as he held his hand up to defend himself. Kroenke said he was shot dead as he fled and was shot in the back. "He runs for his life and is gunned down and is left for dead," she told the jury. Jasmine Wade is currently jailed because she refused to give evidence against her father. Defense attorney Caleb Brown had warned jurors that they would hear from multiple witnesses with a record of lying to the police, and he had tried to convince them the state's case just wasn't good enough to convince his client. "You will not hear a police officer testify that Dante was at the scene," he added. "And you are not going to hear from any independent witness who looked at a photo lineup and said, 'I picked that guy out as the shooter.'" Kroenke, who prosecuted the case with Assistant State's Attorney Mike Baggett, commented after the verdict. She said, "We are very grateful to the jury for their attention and their verdict. Justice was brought to the Afalone family." But apparently not all the jurors were paying attention, however. One younger male juror, previously warned by the judge after he showed up late to court, was removed from the jury and replaced with an alternate on Tuesday after falling asleep during the trial. Local and State, Man Pleads Not Guilty, by Tony Reed, Decatur. Deontay D. Smith appeared in court Wednesday at a preliminary hearing and pleaded not guilty to trying to shoot a man to death after hiring an Uber driver to take him to the crime scene. Smith is charged with 2 counts of attempted murder in the February 28th shooting that left a Decatur man with a bullet wound to his head. Smith, 26, also told Macon County Circuit Court Judge Phoebe Bowers that he was pleading not guilty to further charges of aggravated battery involving firing a gun, being a felon in possession of a firearm, and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. Giving evidence for the prosecution, Decatur Police Detective Jason Danner said the victim had been standing outside apartments in the 1400 block of East Wellington Way when the Uber driver had pulled up in a distinctive red sport utility vehicle. Danner said the victim told police that he saw a man get out, and after the vehicle drove off, he saw the man pull a gun and fire multiple times before wounding him. Questioned by Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Timothy Tighe, Danner said a maintenance man had seen the shooter flee into a nearby apartment, where police said they later found Smith. Danner said Smith goes by the nickname Shots, and his social media profile and a phone number belonging to him had been traced to the account used to hire the Uber driver. The victim also told police he knew Smith and also knew he is known as Shots. Defending, Dave Ellison confirmed with Danner that the victim never saw the face of the man who shot him. And under more questioning from Ellison, Danner confirmed that while the victim had identified Smith from a photo lineup, he had only picked him out as the man he knew as Shots, not his assailant. Ellison told Bowers that he did not feel prosecutors had enough evidence to charge Smith, but the judge disagreed and found probable cause to try him on all counts. A pretrial hearing date was scheduled for October 6th. Smith is being held in the Macon County Jail with bail set at $501,500, meaning he must post $50,150 to bond out. Man freed after 30 years in prison. Associated Press, Chicago. After nearly 30 years behind bars, a man who claimed he was tortured into confessing to a murder he didn't commit by detectives working under Chicago Police Commander John Berge is now free. Keith Walker was released from custody last week after the Illinois Attorney General's office agreed to drop the case against Walker. Walker, 52, claims he was forced to sign a false murder confession to the fatal 1991 shooting of a teenager from Arlington Heights. In 1994, he was sentenced to life for the murder. "I was saddened, hurt, away from family, being incarcerated for something I never did. It was hurtful," Walker told the Chicago Sun-Times on Wednesday. "I can never make up for that time. It's impossible." Walker, who is now staying with relatives in a Chicago suburb, said he's trying to get his life in order. He said he plans to reunite with his four children and keep himself busy. Splash Cove, Construction of Lazy River Set, by Garrett Karsten, Decatur. Splash Cove Water Park will include the addition of a lazy river when it opens on Memorial Day. The Decatur Park District Board on Wednesday approved a $2,675,655 contract with Decatur-based contractor Christy Foltz, Inc. to lead the project. Construction is expected to begin in September. The project is made possible through a $3 million grant from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Clay Gerhard, the Park District's Director of Operations, said a design for the 520-foot-long river was approved Wednesday morning by the Illinois Department of Public Health, and a permit is expected to come Thursday. "The middle lane is what we call the rapids," Gerhard said, noting the river's path will include a little variety for floaters. "The lane's a little narrower, and the water moves a little bit faster in that area. Around the halfway point, the river splits into two routes. So you can choose to go to the rapids or to the normal lazy river, come back, then circle around and get out of the pool," he said. The layout presented to the board Wednesday included a staircase entry connecting the river to the existing water park complex and three staircase exits where floaters can get out of the pool. A secondary mechanical building to be constructed next to the river will hold pool equipment, filters, and have two additional family single restrooms. Deck chairs will also be available in the surrounding open space near the entrance. According to Gerhard, a decision to have park workers install fencing took $35,000 off the bid price. O'Shea Builders of Springfield submitted a bid of $2,905,575. The water park, which includes multiple water slides and other features, has been in development for several years. Located along US 36 and next to the Overlook Adventure Complex, the water park is part of the Park District's long-term lakefront development plan, which aims to transform the Nelson Park area into a hub for recreation that could attract regional visitors, as well as providing a range of activities for residents. Splash Cove was supposed to open this year, but that was put on hold because of coronavirus restrictions. Shelby County enters warning level, Herald and Review, Decatur. Shelby County has passed into the warning level in one of the categories measured by the State Health Department. County health officials, in a statement Wednesday, said there were 87 cases of COVID per 100,000 residents August 2nd through 8th. Under state rules, anything over 50 per 100,000 people triggers a warning status from the Illinois Department of Public Health. A county with two or more COVID-19 risk indicators may have additional restrictions put into place. Last week, adjacent Moultrie County was placed at warning level. Governor J.B. Pritzker this week also put into place restrictions in Metro East counties after the region reached three consecutive days above the state-set threshold this month. Shelby County and Macon County also each reported 9 new cases of COVID on Wednesday. Decatur City Manager Scott Wrighton, in a video message, raised concerns about increasing COVID cases and the impact on Macon County. Warning status would set the county on the road to Phase 3 rules, which mandate some businesses close, and none of us want to see that, he said. The State Health Department uses various indicators to determine warning level status, including increased new infections per 100,000 people, a 20% increase in deaths 2 weeks in a row, availability of intensive care units in hospital, hospital admissions, and more. Overall, the state's rolling 7-day positivity rate increased by 0.1% for the 4th straight day, hitting 4.4%. That's a full percentage point increase since July 24th. For the first time, the state surpassed 50,000 test results reported in a 24-hour period, with 50,299 completed tests yielding 2,295 confirmed cases, a 1-day positivity rate of 4.6%. Meantime, Pritzker and representatives of the University of Illinois also announced a testing breakthrough, which they said could eventually allow for greater suppression of new cases of the virus. The state's flagship public university was granted U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval for a rapid saliva-based testing similar to what's being used to test NBA players during their resumed season in Florida. Today's announcement is yet another game changer, University President Timothy Colleen said at a news conference in Chicago. The pioneering saliva-based testing developed by our leading-edge researchers in Urbana produces rapid results at costs that allow and permit large-scale surveillance testing. That combination is a key to curbing the virus, allowing isolation early enough to limit the spread of the infection. The test also identifies those who are not showing symptoms. The rapid test, combined with contact tracing and other virus mitigation efforts, could help public health officials identify outbreaks before they get out of hand. Colleen said the U of I has created an internal unit at the system level that is working with the governor and his team to share the technology in Illinois. Capital News Illinois contributed to this report. Police. Man shot in shoulder, arrested, by Garrett Karsten, Decatur. Police say a Decatur man faces preliminary weapons and drug charges after running from officers. Decatur Police Sergeant Chris Copeland said they were investigating a report of gunshots at 12:48 a.m. near the 700 block of East Condit Street when the 37-year-old man was seen fleeing from a vehicle. The man was found to have a non-life-threatening gunshot wound in his right shoulder and had discarded 2 firearms, police say. Copeland said he suspected to have fired shots during the incident when he received the injury and wouldn't tell police who had shot him. 11 casings of 2 different calibers were found in the 900 block of North Morgan Street, and several of the recovered shells were the same caliber as one of the discarded guns, according to Copeland. Police said he also had a controlled substance, but the kind of substance was still undetermined as of Wednesday morning. He was arrested and booked into Macon County Jail Wednesday morning, following treatment at Decatur Memorial Hospital, on preliminary charges of reckless discharge of a firearm, possession of a weapon by a felon, possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, armed habitual criminal, and armed violence. A check of jail records around 11:30 a.m. Wednesday showed no bail amount had been set. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state attorney's office. Douglas statue to be removed from Capitol Lawn by Jamie Monks, Chicago Tribune. Statues of two historical Illinois figures with ties to slavery, Stephen Douglas and Pierre Menard, are slated to be removed from the Illinois Capitol lawn after a panel voted Wednesday to have them taken down and to begin a comprehensive study of artwork on the Capitol complex. Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan last month called for the removal of the statues of Douglas, a staunch defender of slavery, and Menard, the state's first lieutenant governor and a slaveholder. Capitol architect Andrea Agert, whose office has control over statues on the Capitol grounds, said she anticipates the pair of statues can be removed from the Capitol grounds within 2 to 3 months. Target sales surge as Americans lean on big box stores by Ann D'Incenzio, Associated Press, New York. Target reported the largest quarterly sales growth, including an online sales spike, in its 58-year history, the latest evidence that Americans are consolidating their trips to big box stores and pivoting their spending to around the home during the pandemic. Target said that online sales nearly tripled during the quarter as shoppers relied more on services like curbside pickup amid concerns about infections. But Target's same-store sales also spiked 10.9% during the three-month period ended August 1st. Meanwhile, home improvement retailer Lowe's Companies reported on Wednesday that comparable store sales in the U.S. surged 35.1% and online orders more than doubled. Walmart, Home Depot, and now Target and Lowe's have reported surging sales for the latest fiscal second quarter that well exceeded analysts' expectations, as Americans limit their supply runs to fewer stores and do more cooking and do-it-yourself projects at home. Store executives say the federal stimulus checks and the extra unemployment benefits helped boost spending during the period. But even as business tapered off when they expired, retailers continue to see strong sales growth and acknowledge that a major shift in spending is at play. There's a true shift in share of wallet from vacations, from dining out, from apparel purchases, to the home, Lowe's CEO Marvin Ellison told the Associated Press on Wednesday. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. Please stay tuned.